And that's not all. Buy today and we'll send you completely free.
Ever thought that some offers are just too good to be true?
Yes, that's an incredible 42-piece set for only $19.95. Yes, you heard us.
That you don't generally get something for nothing?
Free! Free! Free!
Well, at PokerStars, you actually do. Because the minute you sign up as a real money player, you automatically join our VIP club and start earning player points towards hundreds of items, from plasmas to Porsches to seats at major poker tournaments. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to see why our rewards program makes other offers seem, well, a lot of hot air. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's March 20th, 2009, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long, and I'm wondering why you said you're Chris Cosenza when it looks like you are Samson Cosenza.
You know, they say that people who work in business together for a long time tend to look like each other after a while. And
God, I hope that's not true.
Holy cow, me neither. Believe me, I hope it's not true. But, you know, I got a haircut this week because my hair was getting unruly, as the guys in the Connecticut home game could probably attest.
You did not get just one haircut. You seem to have got every single hair cut.
And, you know, of course, on the show, I'm always egotistical. This honestly was not an egotistical thing. It just turned out that way.
Or
you'll think it was.
That's a great quote.
But my whole life, really, you could count maybe on one hand how many times I've had a professional, like, business cut my hair where I go down to, like, a barber or something. Because when I was a kid, my mother cut my hair. And then when I got older, I dated a hairdresser, and she cut my hair.
Wow,
and then I married a hairdresser, and my wife's not a hairdresser anymore, but she still can cut my hair for me. So, really, you can count on one hand how many times I've had my hair cut by someone who doesn't know what I normally look like or whatever. So, I head down to the world-famous Fantastic Sam's this week because my wife was working extra hard where she is, and I was going to go have dinner with her one night at the club, and I wanted to look nice for her. So
now, is this the barber that's owned by Sam Farha or Sam Grizzle?
Sam Grizzle.
Oh, okay.
As you can tell by my haircut, because I look just like you, and that's the way Grizzle cuts all the hair. So, but really, I went down there, and as I'm pulling into the parking lot, I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to tell them? Because they always say, well, how do you like your hair? How much do you want off?
I
don't know what to tell them.
You know,
my hair is parted down the middle, and it's combed back, and it's short. Okay, that's all. So I look over, and I had some magazines in my front seat because I was going to give them to my brother, who likes to give them away to, you know, the doctor's offices that he visits and stuff like that. And I was like, wait a minute, there's a photo of me in the magazine. So I go in, I write my name down, the little thing, and she goes, okay, come on over. And I go over there, and she says, okay, so how do you like your hair? So, of course, I have the cover with the Lauren Fela on the front.
Very nice
cover. And I said, well, I want my hair to look like this. And, of course, it's a woman on the front with, you know, blonde highlights in her hair. And she's like, yeah, right. You know, so I said, no, really. And I opened it up, and I said, I want this is how it normally looks right here. And she says, wow, you look a lot like that guy. And I said, well, that's because that's me. And she says, what? I said, yeah, that's me right there. I said, that's my magazine. I'm the co-publisher of the magazine. My partner's the guy right next to me. She goes, you're the publisher? Wait, what do you do for this magazine? And I said, I own it. And she's like, what do you mean you own it? I said, yeah, I'm the co-owner of this magazine. Where do you live? And I said, I live right down the street over here across the... She goes, oh my God, we have a publisher of a magazine in our shop! And then, like, everyone's like, oh my God! And I said, what's the big deal, you know?
But it was... you remind her it was Ante Up, right?
Yeah. And then I told her...
It's about time.
I was like, you know, it's Florida's magazine. We're, you know... She goes, well, do you play poker? And I was like, well, yeah. I mean, it's a poker magazine that I'm running. So, but it was like the weirdest kind of conversation. She just could not grasp that. And it was totally not ego-driven. I just didn't know. Until now. Now it is, because it's on the show. But that was hilarious. She's like, you look an awful lot like this guy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, good thing. I'm glad you pointed to you and not me, because that would have been even scarier.
Well, the problem is, though, that she gave me your freaking haircut.
Yeah, but she didn't gray it out, though.
She didn't gray it out. No, I had to put the Grecian formula
extra,
in there.
Extra Grecian in there. Took something from Pete Rose.
Oh, man, but that was just insane. Oh, man. Unbelievable. So, yeah, we're starting to look a lot like each other. I think we need to spend a little less time together.
Yeah, well, I can vouch for that. all right, well, you know, I've been a little lax on my reading of Casino Player. They've been kind of stacking up. In fact, actually, I got one of those great little envelopes from the Postal Service. Have you ever gotten one of those where it's, like, in plastic, it looks all official, and then it's, like, a big standard apology, and you open it up because it says your mail has been damaged, and...
Never got that.
You know, they process 4 gazillion pieces of mail every year, and then occasionally 3 or 4 of them get messed up, and yours is one of the 3 or 4.
Never got that.
And I opened it up, and it was like the corner of my Casino Player.
Oh. It was a collector's edition, probably, yeah, too, right?
So, obviously, I paid for a lot more than just the corner.
Yeah.
So I had to resend it. So I'm catching up on a couple of them, and, you know, I'm always impressed with Mike Caro's column in there.
Yep.
And what I'm realizing now is it looks like Mike Caro has given way to a new guard of poker columnists in Casino Player. The last couple of months, he's no longer been in there. But Nolan Dalla has been in there.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So I don't know if there's a throwdown somewhere, you know, West Side Story kind of whatever. But so anyhow, there's two interesting things recently, one from Mike and one from Nolan. So a little passing the baton here on Ante Up from the Casino Player poker columnist.
Because that's what we're here for.
Exactly. Promoting other magazines.
Yeah, poaching news from other people and giving it to our listeners.
Well, you know, I made a big deal on the podcast about how I like to kind of like limp in now in the limit hold'em.
Yeah.
And then kind of pounce, you know, on people like a cougar.
Yes.
On the flop. Well, Mike Caro in one of his last columns, kind of somewhat, maybe depending on how you look at it in a rose-colored light, is kind of justifying my play.
From a very far distance. I tell ya, you just love to bend the truth, man. You love to just stretch everything as thin as possible to make yourself correct.
Yes, yes.
Sounds like somebody we know.
But anyhow, this was in a couple months ago.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, this is the October. This is the issue that
they got
I had
damaged.
To get resent.
October. We're bringing you timely news, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's timely because it just arrived back in my house.
So, timely, you know, to you.
Not messed up.
October issue.
But the headline was, the fear of being outkicked, and the subhead is a great deal of weak hold'em advice has resulted from the fear of being dominated.
Uh-huh.
All right. And his overall...
The gist.
Gist. Yes, that's a good word.
Thank you. That's why I'm here, to give you the proper words.
Is that, he says, an early position pair of queens or jacks cries out for a raise more than a pair of aces or even kings, he says. And that in general, you're going to make about the same amount of money in early positions whether you raise or just call.
Okay, and that translates to limping with ace-queen how?
Because it says that I can make just as much money by not raising.
Yeah, but they're talking about jacks... Aces and kings you wouldn't, because you're probably going to stand up at the end and be good. Ace, queen is not the same thing.
No, jacks and queens, right, yeah.
Yeah, pairs. They're talking about pocket pairs that need protection, not ace, queen that needs to be isolated.
No, but a lot of people are going to tell you that pocket aces need protection.
Oh,
and certainly pocket kings.
I'm so glad you're in the
home
game.
Ace comes on the flop and then you're dead. But not me, because I can fold it.
Man, you'll do anything to get this ace-queen limp thing accepted. It's just not going to happen.
All right, well, you know, I'm just saying, Mike Caro, he's...
All right,
you know,
thanks for that six-month-old report.
He knows something about poker, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so that gives away to our good friend Nolan Dalla. Again, you know,
Nolan,
I met him once, but I'm sure he's...
I've chatted with Nolan a few times, too, over the internet, over, like, his coverage or... You know, stuff he's sending us for our magazine and everything. So he's a great guy.
And he's actually written a lot of interesting stuff for a lot of different people lately. You know, he wrote a really good article on the economy and what that might mean for the poker. You know, maybe we'll try to get him on the show to talk a bit more about that. We don't want to do justice to...
And remember, he wrote that, like he that. Co-wrote that one-of-a-kind Stu Unger story.
Yes, absolutely.
So he's a great writer.
But, you know, I got to take Nolan Dalla to task, you know, because he's kind of new to poker.
And did he say limping with ace-queen's a bad idea?
Yeah.
Is that why you're mad at him?
But in the February issue of Card Pricing,
we're catching up.
He puts 5 tips to maximizing your poker experience.
Okay.
Sounds like a good little article, right?
Yeah, nice little short little boxy thing here.
And, it's good for 80% of it. The first 4 tips I totally agree with, and I'll read them real quickly. We don't need to spend a lot of time. But tip one is play for stakes you can afford. you know, not going to argue with that.
No.
You don't want to be buying into the main event if you have...
you don't want to be mortgaging your house.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Tip two is buy poker books and study strategy. You know, I'd like to add download a podcast and, you know, buy magazine subscriptions to that. But
Yeah, exactly.
Tip number three, don't be afraid to ask questions. Particularly if you're calling a hotline or a mailbag or some other way that you get swag.
I'd ask you what you mean by that, but I'm afraid to.
Oh, very good. Tip number four, if you've never played in a casino before, try online poker first.
Exactly.
And certainly, you know,
I would what everybody does.
Strongly suggest you go to PokerStars.com.
Of course.
To practice.
Is there any other site?
I'm not familiar with any of
it. I should have just said, you know, if you've never played in a live casino, try playing poker on PokerStars.com.
Yeah.
Because that's really the only site
that's
out there.
So. That would work as well, too. And then, though.
Uh-oh, here's the problem.
Then we
problem.
Get to the little, what's the little Price is Right guy that falls off the edge?
Exactly. That guy who goes up the cliff and then the yodeler.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they make that annoying slot machine out of it. So Nolan took the dive off the high dive with number five, I think.
Maybe I'll disagree. I tend to do that occasionally.
Tip number five is focus on cash games rather than poker tournaments. And he goes on to say that, you know, only about 10% of entrants, quote-unquote, cash in a poker tournament. So the odds are stacked heavily against you. But in a cash game, you can move around and blah, 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 blah. Now, I don't disagree with what he's saying, that it's harder to cash in tournaments, but I generally think if you're trying to learn, you get a lot more play for your money in a tournament than you do in a cash game.
Well, the name of the article is Five Tips to Maximizing Your Poker Experience. That could be taken two ways, I suppose. One, like you said, you can get as much playing time for your money as possible, but that's more of a, if you're learning, which I guess this is generally the crux of his story. But the other way too, you look at it is, if you're looking to make money while you're playing poker, cash games are immediate satisfaction, whereas only 10, that's what I'm saying, so I don't know if that's how he meant it. That's all I'm saying, but I agree with you. I think that if you're looking to get as much poker as possible for as little money as possible, you're going to want to play tournaments because you'll be able to play and not feel the huge hit of a cash game that could crush your bankroll or dampen your spirits if you're just starting out. I totally agree with you. I think you're right. But
of course, there are great free rolls out there where you don't have to put any money on.
And absolutely. There's free rolls, there's point tournaments, you know, whatever there is. And I agree. I think that it's not that I disagree with him. It's just that he may have meant that in a way that we're not interpreting properly. So that's why I think it might be. Of course I defend Nolan Dahl. He's going to be on the show someday, and I want him to hear this, and know that I was the man that defended him.
No, but if I'm starting a new game, which a lot of our listeners do, I'd rather just pop in a low buy-in tournament and see a lot of hands for free. I'm not really looking to make money.
I agree, and that's how I started. You know, I started with I was a sit-and-go and multi-table specialist for the longest time, and then finally got bored of him and played cash games. But I agree. I think that if you're looking to maximize your poker experience, That's the way to go.
I agree.
I knew I agree with you. I'm just saying that I'm defending him, saying that he may have meant it some other way.
All right.
But yeah.
You're playing both sides of the fence. All right. You know, and the other thing I suggest to new players is the best way to learn poker is to plunk down just $359 and get on a Carnival cruise ship sponsored by a world famous podcast.
Believe me, you will get your money's worth if you do that. You will maximize your poker experience on the blue water on the way to Cozumel with us.
Absolutely. Now, we're not going to keep banging this into people's heads, but we're excited about it. And, you know, we met with our poker room manager this week, and we're starting to work some stuff out, and we'll have a lot more information coming soon, but we got a call this week, and I thought we could go ahead and play that here.
Hey guys, this is Rage CG on Stars. I had a question about the cruise that you guys talked about today. I noticed that the ship that the Inspiration only has basically the Poker Pro games, so I was curious if all the sit and goes and that kind of stuff is going to be on the Poker Pro stuff, or are we going to have a live dealer? That's sadly a rule breaker. For me, only because I've played on those things before, and it's pretty much a lot like playing on Cake, if you ever played on that. Not very cool. If we have a live dealer, I'm full-on wanting to go to this thing.
That is an excellent question.
It is a good question.
And it has been answered.
On the forum.
On the forum.
AnnieUpMagazine.com/forum. everything you need to know. Well, not everything, because we're going to keep adding details as we go along. But exactly. Believe me, you're going to. I think you're going to enjoy this cruise and what we do with it.
Right. So it's AnnieUpMagazine.com/cruise is our actual cruise page. But go to the forum, AnnieUpMagazine.com/forum, and under the AnnieUp Nation events, there is a sticky little post there.
Sticky.
About the cruise, and I answer all the questions that come in that.
August 20th to the 24th, 2009. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
Out of Tampa.
Yeah, if you want to bring your kids, a lot of good kids stuff on there. Not in the poker room, of course, but, you know, the carnival staff will take care of you. And, you know, food and shows and Mexico. And
remember, you got to book it through us.
That's right.
Book it through our travel agent.
All right, very quickly, we'll announce that real quick. Again, it's Mary Kolb at Go Travel Orlando, 727-733-3498. That's 727-733-3498. Or you can send her an email at mkolb@gotravelorlando.com. And that's mkolb @gotravelorlando.com.
You're getting better at this.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm doing less and less editing every week now on the show.
Oh, I appreciate that.
But what I'm doing is I'm keeping all of your little sound bites in this one little file. And then there's going to be a whole show dedicated to all of your snorting and hicking and umming and...
Snorting and hicking and humming.
All those... little
sounds like a blues
noises
song.
You make. All right, I think it's time for our Annie Up news desk.
And what a slow news weekend it has been, Chris.
Yeah, it's cool, though. You know, we don't always have to have a bunch of news for
everybody.
That's
true. That's
it. It's not our fault.
We're stretching a little bit here. Edward Murrow would be probably a little
he would call this,
disappointed.
He would call this soft. That's what he would say.
But we'll do the best we can here. All right, here we go. The World Poker Tour will hold an event in a Moroccan resort town of Makarech in Season 8, Bluff Magazine reports. It will be the first $10,000 buy-in event held on the African continent.
I'm really impressed. Not with this event, but that you pronounced Makarech.
Right?
I think you might have. If you didn't, you faked it really well.
Wow, good.
I'm very impressed. But,
I'll take a stab there.
Another reason why the World Poker Tour is so important, spreading out where poker's being played and building an audience. And wow, first on the African continent for 10 grand, That's huge.
Yeah, I'll be more impressed when they get the first 10,000 buy-in event in the Sudan. Maybe that'll be next. All right, longtime listener Tom Turley has become the first Anti-Up National to win a seat in the World Series of Poker main event. The first one to let us know he has, at least. Turley qualified in a satellite on an undisclosed online poker room.
Do you see what I'm doing with my arms here?
Do you know
what this means?
You are.
Arms, as in Pearl Jam would say, arms raised in a V for victory, because I predicted... that Tom Turley would have a huge year, and he'd be the Anti-Up National who does really well. And he is going to the main event, and he's going to do well. He's going to cash in the main event.
Wow, you're really
And my prophecy will
here.
Come true.
Put a lot of pressure on this guy.
Well, it's not just qualifying was successful. I mean, making money would be successful. It would be a really good year. And that we said someone would, so we're going to have to hold true. Tom, don't let me down. And when you do, I expect a lot of pizza.
No, I see. That's what I'm going to do, because we're going to be out there for the first day of the main event. I'm going to find his table, and I'm going to send the pizza guy from Fast Times at Ridgemont High over there to give him a slice of cheese. All right, and then finally, and yes, finally already.
Yes, wow. We whizzed right through this.
Happy 203rd birthday tomorrow to Benito Pablo Juarez Garcia. Garcia served 5 terms as president of Mexico, was the nation's first leader without a military background, and also created the hugely addictive poker game known as Juarez.
Not really.
Okay, yeah, not really. In related news, Scott Long, Anti-Up Magazine's first leader without a militant background, turns 37 on Sunday.
37! Oh my God, you're catching up to me.
Yeah, I'm catching up to a lot of people.
But you know what? You'll never catch up to your hair.
That is true.
You have the hair of a 106-year-old.
Yes,
you will never catch up to that.
My hair is like a tortoise.
Well, happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
Maybe somebody who wanted to send us an expensive gift might actually send you something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because now they can.
Or they can send it to Juarez. Which we will probably call Juarez in the home game this Saturday.
Did we ever actually
of our patron saint?
To extend the show a little bit here, did we actually ever explain how to play Juarez on the show, or did we just say we did? Okay,
absolutely.
I can't remember.
Absolutely. Real quickly, it's a double flop Omaha.
Double flop Omaha type game.
8.
Right.
One river, and you get 5 cards to start, and there's only one winner, one high, one low.
Only one overall high at all the boards, and only one overall low, and the river plays on both boards.
If you want to totally kill your home game, call it, because you'll get like 5 hands in a day.
Yeah, we literally take 15 minutes per hand on the home game. So this Saturday we're going to be playing, and I'm sure it'll be called at least
once. If you ever want to see straight flush beat straight flush, that's the game.
It's happened. We've had straight flush lose to straight flush and get quartered for the wheel. Oh, man, that was unreal that day. Hey, I hear the hotline ringing. 813-448-1120. I've actually memorized the number now. I don't have to read it anymore.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, it is
sad. I mean, it's good.
It's good, but sad.
Because you had to, somebody else's phone number got squeezed out.
That's right. Now I've forgotten, like, my mom's number, and I can't call her. And
maybe it's like, you know, an old high school girlfriend or something.
No, I don't memorize that stuff. That stuff's all gone.
Yeah, too bad.
But if you call that number and we use your clip on the show, we will spin the big random prize generator wheel. Hope it lands on something good for you, and we'll send it off to you. All right, so let's listen to this one. This is from David from Davis, California.
Hey, Scott and Chris, you guys are the best. I love your show. Just have one idea for you. I really love the hand of the day. That's my favorite part of the show. And I was thinking, you know, you guys have your mailbag episodes. What if you just had a hand of the day episode every now and again where you just ran through like four or five hands instead of just the one at the end? I think that would be pretty sweet.
Wow, an entire show on hand of the week.
You know, I can only be made fun of for so long every day. If I had to dissect an hour's worth of hands, you know, my mediocrity would just rise to the top.
Yeah, you'd almost like be putting you on one of those little dunking tank things.
Yeah.
You know, and we could just shout things at you. And
yeah, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do a whole show of Hand of the Weeks. I mean, I couldn't do it.
Well, maybe we could do a whole main topic sometime.
Maybe on like Hand of the Weeks?
Pack four in, maybe like, you know, a lightning round.
Now, would it be? It'd be Hands of the Week, right? Not yeah, Hand of true. The Weeks.
Well, it depends how many weeks it takes us to finish.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do a whole show. I mean, oh my God. You know, it's not easy.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe a special edition for all the also-ran.
It's hard to put yourself out there every week, you know.
Yeah, well.
You know, all you got to do is read it.
Paid.
And you're always making me.
All I got to do is read.
All you got to do is read it.
You think reading is easy?
No, for you, it's not. But that's an interesting question, but I don't think we're going to do that. So,
all right, spin that wonderful prize wheel. David, no one's won these yet this year. A set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from GreatPokerHands.com. Congratulations.
Now, he's from Davis, California. Did he send us his address already?
He did not.
All right, so we need your address so we can send you the cards, and hope you enjoy them. And then you could do your own Hand of the Week, because you have you'll have the cards to tell you what you should have done with them. So.
Exactly. Very smart. Very
great gift that we got. Luckily, it landed on that. Well, now we got a mailbag. Again, everything is just picking up. I don't know if it's because everybody's tuning in, or maybe the email is finally catching up and our server is slowly sending us stuff because it backed up because we couldn't afford a real good website when we first started. I don't know. But we're starting to get a lot of good stuff, so we're really happy about this one. You want to read it?
Absolutely. This comes from Howard Hill. He's got a question about straddles. All right, he says he's seen various things done by different people at different places regarding straddles and live bets, etc. He says he doesn't think we've discussed those options in the show before, but could you guys discuss the different options regarding those abnormal betting options? And I love the word abnormal. What can you bet and when? Whether the argument's for or against blind bets, standard straddles, or a button straddle? Are there any other weird bets out there I've not even heard of?
Well, you know, up until a couple of years ago, I thought straddle was just the way you sat on the chair. So I'm going to have to leave this one up to you. Of course, I know what straddles are and where they come from and what they mean and stuff, but I'll let you start it off.
Well, here's the thing. I have been, I'm not ashamed to admit this. I'm a straddle hater and have been from the first time I've seen someone straddle and had to ask what that was. And I'm not saying I'm softened at all, but I did find a good article from Part-Time Poker, and we'll put that link on the recap on our forum at annieupmagazine.com/forum. That kind of made me think of straddles and maybe a different light. But real quickly, a straddle is a different blind bet on top. So, you know, you had the small blind, you had the big blind, and then somebody else at the table makes another blind bet. Right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people are like, well, it's got to be the other gun. Well, guess what? It's not the other gun. It could be on the button. It could be anybody at the table. And there's all kinds of Mississippi straddles and Indiana straddles and Star Trek straddles. So, in short, it's crazy. It's different at every casino, so you need to ask what's allowed and what. And in fact, in Florida here, I believe that straddles are not legal. I know I've never seen it, but I believe it's not because it's been specifically outlawed. It's just not been specifically allowed, which is kind of how the Florida poker stuff works.
No, it's legal. It happened to me at Derby Lane on Valentine's Day.
Oh, did it?
Somebody straddled.
Well, maybe it's by card room.
Yeah.
Which is good. That's what you need to ask when you go to card room.
Yeah, it happened at Derby Lane. So I'll make two comments about the straddle. There's a kind of straddle where you straddle on the button, and if it gets raised or called before you gets to you, you can take your straddle back. So you don't have to straddle. So that's kind of like an insurance policy rather than doing it under the gun.
Yeah.
When you straddle under the gun, you have to keep your straddle there. And the other thing, too, is people do this to build action and to make the game bigger. So if you're uncomfortable with this sort of level, and not uncomfortable that you're afraid to lose money, but in the sense that you don't like playing small poker, these types of limits, and you straddle, the reason why you're doing that is because you want somebody to raise 3x or 4x what your straddle is, making it a much bigger game.
Yeah.
And then you'll feel more comfortable because that's what you want to play, and they'll be uncomfortable because they're not used to playing at that limit. So it's twofold.
The first chink in my anti-straddle armor was it's popular in Pot Limit Omaha to get that pot built a little bit more because you can't raise. Mm. You're limited by the pot.
Yeah.
So I'll give them that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, if you want people to be making 3x raises at your straddle bet, that doubles the size of that game, and now you're playing for stakes that they're uncomfortable with, but you're comfortable with. So it can be beneficial that way. But most people do it because they're just losing, and they want to try to build a big pot to try to win. So, and a lot of times they just lose more, and you punish them. You know, if you have a decent hand, make sure you punish the straddler.
This article that we'll post a link to is by John Darr, and he talks about, in fact, he makes the point that if you completely eliminate straddle from your arsenal, you are making a mistake.
Yeah.
Let people read and make their own decisions.
I did it a couple of times. I think I did it once in the Connecticut home game, but I'm not sure.
I like to do it in the home game just to have a little more fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's about it. I don't really see it as that strategic.
I agree.
Of course, you know, he also mentions that when you straddle, you can kind of get a feeling from folks, you know, what they feel about that. And if you're at a table with nine Scott Longs, you're going to want to straddle because you're just going to tick all those people off and you're going to be able to do well.
All right, I'm going to spin the wheel.
All right.
Now, this is a great gift. You know why? Because, you know, I did my once a year cleaning around the house.
Yes, yes.
And I stumbled upon these decks of cards. And I forgot we had them because once we moved from the Times, we stopped mailing stuff for a while. But these are the Poker's Most Wanted from the our good friends Chip and Karina Jett.
One deck of them coming out to you, Howard, if you send me your address at podcast@antiupmagazine.com. And they come straight from the Al Capone vault at Cosenza Ville.
Yeah, I was under like six layers of dust, and I forgot all about them. So that's now added to our swag shelf.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com. And this is another one-minute mystery. The Case of the Dull Blade. It's mixed games again, which means a shorthanded table. We are four players and in the triple draw rotation.
Oh, I don't think there's any harm in that, sir.
Before we can even look at our cards, the under the gun raises one bet. On the button, I look down at nine of diamonds, two of spades, jack of hearts, seven of spades, eight of clubs. I'm going to call here, not so much that we have a rough 8 with an 8-7 deuce, but we have 3 to an 87 with a 2 in our hand, which makes a huge difference on the button. Both blinds call, and all four players start drawing cards. The small blind and big blind draw 2, our under-the-gun raiser just draw 1, and I'm going to discard my 9 and my jack and replace it with a 5 and an ace. Our blinds check, and as expected, the under the gun is going to make a bet, but I'm going to call because I improved. But I'm going to have to be careful.
Do you mind if I tag along?
Surprisingly, the blinds call, and on our second draw, everybody draws one card. Obviously, I'm throwing my ace, and I replace it with a 4. We just made our rough 8.
Let me ask you something.
Let's see what happens. Whoa, the small blind just bet, and the big blind just called. And the end of the gun just raised. The pot is now 18 big bets, and it's 2 big bets to you.
Oh, just one more thing.
Are you going to the showdown?
This is Graham. He's new to PokerStars. Graham doesn't know it yet, but he's a VIP. He's entitled to claim points against any number of rewards in the PokerStars VIP program. From PlayStations to plasmas, from Porsches to seats at major on- and offline poker tournaments. You see, he started collecting VIP points the minute he joined PokerStars as a real money player. Because we don't think you should have to apply or be in the know to earn rewards. He'll be very excited when he finds out. Just you wait and see. Wait for it. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP and find out why all other reward schemes seem just a little, well, inaccessible. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
All right, it's time for our power tips for Stud. It's the next Apes event. Event number 3 is going to be April 8th, 9 p.m. Eastern on PokerStars.com. Password is ANTEUP. And we'll be playing 7-card Stud. But don't forget, on this Wednesday coming up will be our free roll, also 9 p.m. Eastern. Also password ANTEUP. Also on PokerStars.com. Registration for that opens a mere 4 hours before the actual event.
I'm starting to embrace Stud. Perhaps it's my love of Stud 8 that is starting to make me appreciate Stud itself and not fear it as much as I used to. And I'm starting to enjoy it now. So we have some tips, but we have another call because people are just calling us left and right now.
Exactly.
Thank God.
And it's a great kind of call that kind of reminds us why we have apes. So let's listen to that.
All right.
I just wanted to say thanks for entertaining podcast and the opportunity to broaden new poker horizons. I joined the free roll for the Omaha, my first Omaha play ever, and managed to be a chip leader with 3 to go and survived, and then managed to be chip leader near the bubble during the tournament last night and ended up 8th. So, again, first time playing, so a lot of luck in it all, but enjoyed the podcast and enjoyed the opportunity to broaden your horizons.
And he didn't leave his name, but it broadened his horizons.
We know he's from Florida, though, because we see the little area code there.
That's true.
It's an indication that they're from Florida. So that's good, too. Maybe they started picking up our show from listening or seeing it in the magazine, too.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's always good to hear people appreciating what's going on and thinking
that free roll.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
Getting your free roll for Stud after you learn these power tips, and maybe you, too, will parlay it into a huge payday.
Want me to start?
Absolutely.
I will start. Watch out for paired door cards. If you don't know what the door card is, that's the first card up. So you have 2 down and 1 up. Especially if this player, it's clear to you that they're not going for, like if they get it on 6th Street, if they're not going for a straight or a flush, and you could just tell they're not, obviously if they played with their paired door card, it means they had a pair in the hole and they got, you know, 2 pair, or they made trips. So if you can't beat either of those hands, you might want to get out at that point. I'm not saying that that's something that people are going to bluff with now because, oh, look, I paired my door card. People like to bluff that way, too, if they're heads up especially. But just be aware of the paired door card. It could mean disaster for you with your pair of kings.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and obviously if you can't beat that door card, too.
Oh, yeah, sure. Pair, yeah, that goes without saying. But I'm just...
I bluffed like that once.
Yeah?
I wouldn't recommend it. Feeling kind of crazy. But I actually took it down a potlight.
How about the guy who... There was 4 jacks showing and the guy called with like ace high or something.
Yeah. That was a good day. All right, here's my first one. Play aggressively. There's an extra round of betting in stud games and make people who are drawing pay for that.
Yeah, stud's not a drawing game. You really don't want to be drawing, but if you are going to be drawing or people are going to be drawing around you, make them pay.
Yeah. There's not a lot of times where you want to be slow playing instead. Just get that money in and let these people keep paying you off.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, too, because my second tip is if you are going to play a drawing hand, make sure you have Broadway cards, because if they pair up, they might be good enough to win anyway. And, of course, you're going to want to start with 3 to Broadway or 3 to a flush, and a good flush, too, not a low flush. You know? Make sure you have that ace in your hand.
Well, I like that, Owen, because you're looking for backup because you got all these other streets, and when you're going for one thing, but you see that a lot in stud. You go for what you're going for one thing, and then, oh, wow, guess what?
You're back into something else.
And sometimes you don't even realize it until you turn the card over.
Let the dealer tell you.
So that's a big thing, too. If you're playing live, turn those cards over.
Yeah, turn them over. Don't just say, oh, you can't beat it.
But, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, my second one. Count the 5s and 10s. You need these for straights. You know, anybody who's played poker for a little bit knows that you need to have either a 5 or 10 in your straight.
In your straight.
Hand.
Right.
And because you don't have community cards here, it has to be in your hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I suggest, if they're not up, it means they have to be under if somebody has a straight. So if you're looking at your opponent and he doesn't have a 5 or 10 up, depending on what other cards he has, if you are scared about the straight, he has to have it underneath. Or she.
Yep.
Or it.
Yeah. Well, to piggyback on that, too, if you have a lot of 5s and a lot of 10s in your hand, they're probably not going to get the straight because you've got their outs.
It does,
and especially if they're concealed, that helps too.
And I appreciate you bringing that up because I got a great story from the home game where I got wailed on by good old Dr. Frank because he had a wheel where it looked like a wheel, but I had three of the fives in my hand, and I just didn't believe him, and I paid him off, and of course he had the case five. So just because of that... Doesn't mean you're right, but obviously,
right,
generally
just,
speaking.
It helps your odds when making decisions. How's that?
But yeah, so, you know, think back, if that person has to have a 5 or 10 underneath to have a straight, think back about how he or she played the hand from the beginning and see whether that's plausible.
Right. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right, my final tip, I believe I've brought up on the show probably even more than once, but it's a good system because a lot of people like to have things that they can... You know, just rely on. They can have a system they can play on and then get better at the game and then not need the system anymore because it's second nature. But this one is, again, if you're drawing to a straight, you need to assign points to the cards that can help your straight. And what I mean by that is, let's say you have 8, 9, 10 in your hand, okay? If there's a jack out, it can immediately help your hand because it would give you a wrap, you
right,
know.
Exactly.
So the cards that immediately flank the three cards that you have or immediately help your hand. So let's say there's a jack out. Assign cards that can immediately help your hand 2 points. And if there's a card outside that, like a queen, which is two away from your highest part of the straight,
gotcha,
give that 1 point. Now, at any given moment, if there are 4 points or more out there, you might want to seriously consider folding. And then if there's more than four. If you have four, it's borderline, you can go. If you have less than four and you want to continue with the hand, you got the pass. It's okay. But that's generally the system that I've seen, and I'm not sure who brought it up. It might have been Steve Zolotow, in Card Player, but I'm not sure. It's a very good system to use if you're going to go for a straight. Just make sure that, you know, most of your cards that you need aren't out. And I think you can even do that in Raz. You know, Mitchell Kogert's got a nice book and a nice system that I always profess to be very good, but you can do stuff like that with Raz, too. Assign cards that you need to make your hand and points, and if it's too many of your points are out, then fold.
Yeah.
So if you're going to draw, that's a good thing to do.
Very good. Very good. All right, my very final one is position can change on every street, and this is a huge one for people transitioning from Hold'em, where you're the position is fixed and you get used to, hey, I'm on the button this hand, I'm going to have the button the entire time. Well, in stud, absolutely zero guarantee of where your position is going to be. So if you have a big up hand, and of course that's how the action starts in stud, is
right,
with the highest up hand, you're going to be at a betting disadvantage, and your opponents will know it. But if you're strong underneath and weak up top, or what looks like weak up top, you'll get a better chance to react to the action.
Not only that, but you'll be able to pounce on them in the later streets when the bets double, and they have no idea what's going on. You know, they'll think you're drawn to a straight when you've got rolled up fives, you know, or whatever it is. So yeah, be patient and later.
And you see this more probably in stud eight, and when you have maybe like a wheel draw with an ace up, and then all of a sudden you pair that ace and doo!
Yeah.
All of a sudden, ouch, now I'm acting first. And it's not a bad thing to have a pair of aces.
No.
But depending on what street it is, you may not want to.
They may think you're going high and you've got a wheel,
yep,
you know, and then you scoop. So,
but it works in stud high as well, too. Maybe you have a ace high flush draw going, and now you pair your ace.
All right, so take these tips. We guarantee if you memorize them, you will win the tournament.
Or you'll at least be able to enter one on Wednesday.
For free. All right, so don't forget, event number 3, the actual event, is April 8th, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And go to anteup.com/apes, A-I-P-S, to see all the details and get our password.
Backstage, the girls were playing five cards, stood by the stairs.
Hi, this is Cindy Violet, and you're listening to Annie Up.
Lily had two queens. She was hoping for a third to match her pair.
Got a little limit hand for the hand of the week.
Should I read it to you instead?
No, that's quite all right. I like to make you squirm.
I hate it.
Plus, I printed it out on a nice hard stock.
What does that have to do with anything?
I was printing out other stuff, and you ever leave stuff in the printer?
Oh, I hate that.
I'm happy so far that I haven't printed any random notes on our company checks by accident, like leaving stuff in the printer. But this comes from Peter Hoban, parts unknown, but he will gladly send us his email, or his physical address, after hearing this wonderful hand of the week, so he can get some swag.
Wait till he sees what he wins. Of course, we don't know. We haven't spun the wheel yet.
That's true. All right, so he was playing in a $1, $2 limit game on PokerStars.com.
Smart man.
Absolutely. And he's on the button. Actually, the button.
Yeah, he spelled it button.
He's kind of trying to pronounce it like you do. all right, so here we go. Everyone folds to the middle position player, and middle position, that guy raises. This person has been playing a lot of hands, not all for raises, but a lot of hands. So he's playing against me. we get one other caller, and he looks down at the seven of hearts, five of hearts, Chris.
Well, we're on the button, and there's probably enough money out there to have the pot odds to draw to a straight or a flush. So if I'm feeling good, I'll call.
In a 1-2 limit game, I kind of like to play at these hands because there's a lot of action usually, and you know, if I hit a hand, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, and also I'm on the button, though. Sometimes, you know, I might actually raise this. It's already been raised once.
Eh, you're crazy. Yeah, and I know what you like to do. You like to raise to build a pot even more for your connectors, but you're not going to get anybody out, and you're just going
to Well, I'm not trying to get
invite
anybody out.
More people
what
in.
What I'm trying to do is suggest that I have a stronger hand than I do. So now I've got some more outs coming.
Yeah,
you know, if I get hearts or straights or seven or a five or aces or kings or something like that, that's a big hand, then it looks like I hit.
Okay, so are you going
to
raise here?
I generally don't like to just to call and limit. I like to raise or fold. So I'm going to raise here myself.
Yeah, I'm not raising. I'm happy calling. Because I already got a caller behind me. So I've got enough money out there to draw to what I need to draw to. And it's a big enough pot if I hit it. And then, yeah, I'm not. There's no reason to raise here.
All right. Well, I'm raising.
Okay.
You're calling. Let's see what our hero does. Our hero calls. He's no longer a hero in my book.
All right.
Side with Chris, you're no longer a hero in my book. All right, the small blind folds, the big blind folds, and so there's 750 in the pot with three players to the flop. Would have been a lot more in there had I raised. okay, here we go. The flop comes, queen of hearts, nine of hearts, two of spades. See, this is the kind of flop that I raised that hand with.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Because I can represent the queen, I can represent the hearts, I can do all kinds of things with this, and I have position. Unlike stud, where it changes all the time, I know I'm going to have position the entire rest of this hand.
You want me to read the hand? And you do
no,
the
no, that's fine. That's all right. Right. Let me calm down a little bit.
Let's see what happens.
All right, so the middle position bets out. He is the guy that raised previously. The guy I could have made sweat had I raised. He bets out. We get a caller, and it gets to us. Now what are you going to do with your flush draw?
Well, here's the thing. Is I may raise because I'm probably not going to get paid off if the heart comes. So I may raise now. How's that? Is that a little more in line with what
yeah,
you
Yeah, I'm going to raise here because I want to get a free look at the turn.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You raise, you get the free look at the river, not the turn.
Well, yeah.
The river.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Lee Jones.
Just because I didn't say it doesn't mean that's not what I meant.
If you're going to raise and hope they check to you to get a free look at the river, you know, it's getting your free card.
Now, had we gone back to what I suggested the mere mortal do on the flop, then...
they would have checked to you, and then what? You would have bet anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you, whatever. So you saved a bet.
Yeah, maybe we're taking it down here.
Now you're getting to see the river for, if you did it our way,
no,
you're
I'm still making the same
your
bet.
Your way, it would cost the same.
Yeah, all right. All right, so, all right. Okay, so our hero just calls, and 10-50 in the pot, three players to the turn. Turn brings the four of spades. See?
That didn't help us.
We could have got our free card, it would have been nice, but we're not going to get a free card now. We're going to have to pay for the river now.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh, I'm just saying.
Well, I was going to raise there, so you might have gotten a free card.
All right.
So don't look at me like I'm
so now we're getting
the
up
reason.
On the poor hero.
Yeah, because I'm not
poor
the
Peter.
Reason. I'm not the reason.
He's never
going to
send
a free card.
All right, we'll see what happens. Maybe it's not too bad. The initial raiser bets out, continues going. We knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Got to keep firing. Well, we get rid of the player in the middle.
All right.
So now it's heads up. We can either call, raise, or fold.
Well, $2 to win 12. I'm calling.
Yeah, I'm not going
to 6-1 on a flush draw?
Yeah. I got to call and see what I can get.
Yeah, there's no reason to raise.
And, you know, and also, and remember, in limit, too. I mean, this guy could have ace-king. He could be have an ace-high.
A 7
and
a 5 could be
a
good.
A 7 or 5 could win it for us as well.
All right, let's see what happens.
All right, well, our hero figures that he the opponent hit the queen on the flop, maybe the weak kicker, and he's trying to get me out. But he says, in limit, you can't push anyone off in hand. Don't we know that? So he decides just to call and hope to hit the flush. Now, I don't think you can put him necessarily on a queen. He could have a lot of range hands, as we just said.
He could
have
all kinds of stuff. He could have jacks.
Yep.
He could have anything.
Yep.
He could have kings.
But yeah, I do think you probably have to hit the flush. Maybe the 7 or 5. I'm going to make a crying call.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
we're heads up, we're last act. It's not going to be a big bet.
I'm thinking that we're going to need the flush, but who knows.
All right, so 14-50 in the pot. We're heads up. The river brings the six of clubs.
Yahtzee straight.
Only that counted. In fact, actually, that should count in 1-2 limit.
It should. Oh, man. All right, so we're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, yeah. So our hero also comes to the same realization, figures he's done with his hand, but surprise, surprise, the opponent checks.
Oh, are you thinking about betting on the end here? Oh, there's no other way to win, but there's no other way to get... He's not going to fold.
We're not playing against BJ Upton here. This guy might actually fold.
I don't know if he's going to fold for $2 to win 14 or whatever.
All right, well, here's the thing. Again, you know, it's all relative to the limit you're playing. I mean, obviously, 1-2 is a little less than I normally play, so I'm going to put a bet in here and try to win. Because you're not going to win. There's no, almost no way you're going to win this without betting.
Yeah.
You know, unless he was on the smaller hard flush draw.
If you don't mind losing $2 more, you might as well try. But I just can't imagine this guy folding for $2. If he does, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, you know, stranger things happen. All right. But our hero here, what? In all capital letters, he figures he must have had a flush draw, and he was overplaying and didn't get there. That's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
You know, if he...
We could have been drawn dead the whole time.
He has, like, a jack high or something here with a heart that, you know, at bet, because we've been calling the whole time.
Yeah.
Unless he puts us also in a flush draw, he's got to think we have to have something. And that's what our hero says. He must have put me on some kind of hand since I called away, so I bet. And what did our dastardly opponent do?
Wow. Well, if it's hand of the week, he might have folded.
He did fold!
Wow!
How about that, kids?
Wow.
And our hero says, I guess that shows you should never give up a hand. Always rethink what you put the other guy on.
Wow, so did we ever find out anything? Did he muck it? Did he say what he had?
No.
Wow!
A mystery for the ages.
Jeez. That's great. Good for him. $2, a little $2 investment, won him 12. Or whatever it was.
Won him 12.
Nice job.
Very nice.
We're going to spin the wheel for the final time today, and let's see where it lands.
All right, Peter, you were cool under pressure, so you're going to win a lovely Shades card protector from PokerFaces.tv. It's probably my favorite of the PokerFaces.tv collection.
Well, that really is thick stock that you...
It is, isn't it?
That you put it on. Yeah. Nice. Nice job.
All right, so Peter, send us your address to podcast@anyamagazine.com, and everyone else, send us your hands of the week, your mailbags, your questions, your concerns, your deposits for the cruise. Actually, don't send those to us. But send those to our agent. But everything else, podcast@anyamagazine.com.
Hey, man, good show today.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a little pat on the back.
Aw, thanks.
I'm Chris.
It bothers me that you're so close to me now.
I'm Chris Cusenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we'll see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.